If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, to chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 18 and read through verse 25. We're focusing on Joseph today. There are those who deny the virgin birth, who deny that Jesus was unique in any way, deny that he was the Son of God, and in the process deny the validity of Scripture. Here at Central, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice, the only way we know without fail what God wants us to believe and how he wants us to live. We go to Scripture. Listen. Hear what God says in this portion of the Bible. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Our meditation this morning is entitled, No Red Tag Sale on Love. Our text, verses 24 and 25 from chapter 1, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father, as we think about the various people who are part of the Christmas scene, we pray that you will give us new insights that will help us live more effectively as a part of the family of God. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Both the parents of Jesus are known to us, but as a matter of fact, Mary gets the lion's share of the attention. Joseph is always a sort of shadowy figure in the background. The Bible has a lot to say about Mary. In Luke, we read that she had found favor with God. Now, I've often wondered, what does that mean, to find favor with God? What had she done that caused her to be in God's favor? What could I do to be in God's favor? And all through the life of Jesus, we see the figure of Mary. She's there at his first miracle at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. She's there through those 3 years of ministry. She's there at the end when he's being crucified. The Roman Catholic Church has deified her and called her Theotoka. Mother of God. But this morning I'd like for us to focus on Joseph. God chose Joseph to serve as the earthly father for His one and only son. Now, if you had to choose someone to act for you as the father of your son, what would you look for? What sort of characteristics would you want in this person who's to serve in your place? On what grounds would you choose a particular person and say, this is the one I want to serve as the parent to my child? Well, let's look at what the Bible tells us about Joseph. If I ask you, what is Joseph's occupation, what would you say? What is he? A carpenter. You might be surprised, however, to learn that in the entire New Testament, there is only one reference, sort of an aside, about the occupation of Joseph. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, we read of an incident early in the ministry of Jesus when He goes to His hometown of Nazareth and He begins to teach in the synagogue. And you know, the Bible says the prophet is without honor in his own home. And the people are astonished at His teaching, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And then they ask, isn't this the carpenter's son? By the same token, if I ask you what the occupation of Jesus was prior to the beginning of His ministry, would you say He was a carpenter too? But as a matter of fact, there's only one reference to Jesus as a carpenter. When Mark tells the same incident I just mentioned, he tells it in a slightly different way. According to Mark, when Jesus taught in the synagogue in Nazareth, the people said, where did this man get these things? And then they asked, what's this wisdom that's been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And then Mark adds, and they took offense at him. So Joseph was a carpenter, and apparently he taught his trade to his son Jesus. But that passage from Mark that I just read tells us something else about Joseph. Did you catch it? You see, the passage mentions Mary. It names four brothers of Jesus. It speaks of his sisters in the plural, so there were at least two of them. But Joseph is not mentioned at all. Why not? Most scholars understand that by this time, Joseph has passed away. As a matter of fact, Joseph is not even named in the Gospel of Mark. And in John, the only two references to Joseph have nothing to do so much with him as it is to identify Jesus. And John speaks twice of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So very early in the Gospels, Joseph drops out of the picture. And it is a likely assumption that he died at an early age before the ministry of Jesus actually began. But there are a few other little pieces of information we have about Joseph. According to the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, the ancestry of Jesus is traced through the Davidic line with Joseph. So we know Joseph was a descendant of David. And therefore, his ancestral roots were in the little town of Bethlehem, just a small village about 6 miles from Jerusalem. Also, we know that Joseph settled in Nazareth before the birth of Jesus, and that when he had fled to Egypt to keep Herod from killing Jesus, when it was safe, he came back home and he went again to Nazareth. So that's about all the factual information we know about Joseph. It was a carpenter who lived in Nazareth, whose ancestors came from the Davidic line. His family had its roots in Bethlehem. And apparently, Joseph died young. But in addition to the factual information, there are some things that we can deduce about Joseph. For example, we know he was pledged to be married to Mary. The King James Version uses the word betrothed. The pledge to be married back then in Jewish custom was quite different from simply being engaged as we understand it today, and where the girl, if she gets off in a snit with him, can give him his ring back and say, "Our engagement's broken." According to Jewish custom, a pledge to be married was almost tantamount to marriage itself. When a man got betrothed, he made a declaration to his prospective bride in the presence of two or more witnesses and presented her with a small gift. Thereafter, the woman was called by the title wife. If the man to whom she was betrothed died prior to the actual marriage, she was considered a widow. By the same token, the relationship of betrothal was so important that if a woman committed adultery, she was subject to the Levitical law and could be stoned to death. So the man also betrothed to a woman could not simply break the relationship on a whim. Instead, by the Levitical law, he had to give her a written letter of divorce. And that helps us to understand what the Bible is talking about in Matthew, in our scripture this morning, when it says, because Joseph, her husband — he's called her husband, although they aren't married — because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, did not want to bring her under the Levitical law where she could be stoned to death, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, to give her this letter of divorce and break the relationship. Now, if you were God, and if you were going to choose someone to be the father of your one and only son, what sort of person would you choose? What qualities would you look for in this person who was to shape and mold those early formative years of your child? Who would be the husband of the mother you had chosen for your son? Well, first of all, God would choose someone who had a sense of compassion. You see, Joseph could have brought Mary to trial. He could even have had her stoned to death if he had chosen. But Joseph didn't do that. Out of a deep compassion, the Bible tells us, he chose instead to seek a quiet divorce because, the Scripture says, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Isn't it interesting that God chose a man of compassion? There are those who think that compassion is being wishy-washy, that it's being soft and weak and somehow unmanly. And yet God wanted the quality of compassion in the man who was to serve as a role model to his son. And we certainly see in the ministry of Jesus this profound compassion. Now, I think we can learn a lot about how we men should treat our wives and our children and our loved ones. It may be true that those whom we love sometimes do things that are not the best. But God chose a person with compassion. And do you know, I suspect a lot of the problems that we're having in our homes, in our families, in our relationships with each other, can be helped and healed by people who are having compassion for each other, who are having a sense of understanding and empathy for one another. Yes, compassion. The second quality we see in Joseph is spiritual obedience. You know, sometimes the commands of God are hard. He calls us to love our enemies, and that's tough. He calls us to holiness, and it's hard. He calls us to purity. He calls us to faithfulness. Yes, God calls us to obedience to His commands. And it's hard to be obedient. But that's what the Bible says about Joseph. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. He did it.
Can you say that about your life? Do you have that kind of radical obedience to God? And then the third thing we see about Joseph is this. He dared to share the shame of Mary. You know, love sometimes has a really high price tag. There's never any red tag sale on love. There's never any cheap love. Real love never comes at a discount. Real love is never marked down, never cheap, never on red tag sale. And when you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, that's no red tag sale. That's the real cost of real love. You see, the Bible says that Joseph took Mary home. Now, the neighbors were going to talk. You know that. Tongues were going to wag. Everybody would assume they had broken their betrothal vows. But out of a profound love for Mary, Joseph dared to share the shame. Are you willing to do that for the people you love? When your spouse does something that's wrong or stupid or embarrassing, when a child fails or does poorly or goes wrong, how do you respond? Do you lash out? Do you get angry and critical? Do you show rejection? Do you intensify the guilt and the sense of shame of the guilty person? Joseph didn't do that. No, he dared to share the shame. And because it was shared, it was bearable. It isn't easy to enter lovingly into the faults and the failures of others. And yet that's the kind of person that God chose to be father to Jesus. Someone who would dare to share the shame and in the process make it bearable. A fourth thing we notice about Joseph is that he had his own needs under control. Is that true in your life this morning? Do you have your needs under control, or are your needs controlling you? Are your wants and your desires and your needs controlling your life? The Bible says of Joseph that he took Mary home as his wife. But it adds he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Now, I assume Joseph was a normal person with all of the normal drives that people have. We know he had normal sex drives because he and Mary had at least 4 sons and at least 2 daughters. And yet for Mary's sake, he controlled his own desires and his own needs. Are you ever guilty of demanding of your family, of others, that they meet your needs, whatever those needs might be, or blame them if your needs aren't met? Irrespective of the feelings or the rights or the desires of other family members, do you insist that everyone do what you want or what you need, no matter what? Now, I know I'm sometimes guilty of that. I put my wants and my wishes and my desires ahead of other members of the family and what they might want. But God didn't choose that kind of a person. No, God chose someone who had his own life under control, who had his own needs in check. He was controlling his needs, and his needs were not controlling him. Another thing we learn about Joseph is that he gave spiritual leadership to his home. According to the Jewish law, he had Jesus circumcised on the 8th day, as was required. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, he brought Mary to the temple to be purified according to the Jewish law of purification after the birth of a child. Even though he was so poor that he could only afford to buy 2 little pigeons as a sacrifice. And still he honored God, and he was spiritually obedient and gave God the best he could afford. And in years to come, you will remember when Jesus was a child, he came back to the temple with his family. I wonder about the spiritual leadership of many of our homes today. I wonder about
you men about the kind of spiritual leadership you're giving to your family. So often fathers fail to give the sort of spiritual leadership that children and young people need. And when young people rebel and turn away from religion, we fathers sometimes wonder, what's wrong with those kids? Well, often it's simple enough. We fathers have failed to give spiritual leadership. A parent, a mother, may have failed to give the right kind of example. Yes, God chose a man who gave spiritual leadership to his family. And are you adults, are you mothers and you fathers giving spiritual leadership to your families this morning? And you young people, are you living out a spiritual example with your peer group that they can see what it's like to belong to Jesus Christ? Let me mention a sixth thing Joseph did. Joseph always leaned on God for guidance. When he was praying about what to do with Mary, he leaned on God. And do you remember what happened? An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Later on, when he was praying about fleeing to Egypt, he leaned on the Lord, and the Bible says an angel told him, get up and go. And when he was praying about, was it safe to go back to Nazareth, the Bible says an angel appeared to him. Let me tell you something interesting. An angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph three different times. No other person in the entire New Testament is reported to have had that experience so often. You see, I believe God responds to those who lean on Him. Are you and your family doing that? Are you leaning on God for guidance? And how desperately our homes today need godly men and women, mothers and fathers, who are leaning on God for guidance. So God chose Joseph to be the father of His one and only son, Jesus. He chose a man of compassion. He chose a man of spiritual obedience. He chose a man who dared to share the shame of a loved one. He chose a man who was in control of his own life, in control of his own needs. He chose a man who could give spiritual leadership. And he chose a man who leaned on God for guidance. And while he may have dropped out of the scene early on, already the lasting impact was made. And he had helped to shape and to mold the life and the character of Jesus. No, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Joseph. He's always in the background, and early on he disappears from the scene. But if I had to choose somebody to be the father of my one and only son, I'd want to choose somebody like Joseph, wouldn't you? And if God were choosing a parent today, as He is, He's choosing many of you to be the parents of your children. Would He really want to choose just you? Would He?